All right. Good morning, Keystone Church. Don't you love to see my family being crazy, huh? It's crazy stuff. Hey, look, at both of our campuses, North Fort Worth and here at Keller, let's give it up for all of our guests. Can we do that? We're so glad that you came today. We really are. And I got to tell you, just worshiping together, man, to see some of us worship like that, man, it's a miracle. It's a miracle to sing like that from the heart. It's a miracle, because you need to know, if you're a guest here today, that some of the jumping around and the singing around, you know, for some of us, that's because I am alive. You know, I am alive. God has taken something that was dead, and he's made it alive. And I just got to tell you, man, some of the people I saw singing, I know your stories, and just the tears that are coming down your cheek. I mean, I think I'd be dead inside if it didn't touch me. So, could you give me a second? Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay, when in doubt, let's pray. Let's pray together. God, I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for what you've done. And I'm just swept up in a moment. And I hope that a guest that's come in understands that what we're doing here is not a show. It's something that's far bigger than that, and it's excellent, and it's beautiful, and we're just reveling in the reality that you have saved some of us sinners. And God, we're just so grateful. We're just reveling in the reality that none of us have arrived. And God, when it comes to parenting, when it comes to the family, many of us, there's a lot of pain. There's the pain of a kid that's gone wayward. There's the pain of a spouse that's doing their own thing. There's the pain of a depression that's gripping us, causes us not to be at our full capacity. God, there's the pain of insecurity that causes us to make bad choices. God, I just pray right now for healing in the house, and I pray that we'd understand that you do have a hope and a future for us, that you can take us right where we are and you can lead us to a better place, that you can lift the lids in our life and you can lift our chin and you can shine upon our face. God, I pray for that in our families today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we do welcome all of our guests. Now, I got to tell you, this weekend is a weekend of life change, and it's been a weekend of life change starting about Thursday night. Starting about Thursday night, our girls went away for a little girlfriend getaway, girlfriend retreat. Ladies, did you have a good time? Yes, yes. I'm glad to hear it. And the stories that came back, I heard you had a lot of fun. My wife ziplined 3 times, okay? The girls are coming back with all the bruises on their legs from the paintballing. And I tell you, they had a blast, canoeing all over the place, having a blast, getting away, having a breather, but also life change. We saw stories that'll just break your heart. We heard the stories. We connected. Girls getting up early and exercising, that's life change for many of us. But also we saw people saved, and we saw people baptized, and we saw people go public with their new life in Christ. Let's give it up for life change, huh? You know, at Keystone Church, we love this church. We really do treasure this place. And at Keystone Church, this is a place where we love to get away, because we're convinced that sometimes when you kind of get away from the buzz of your schedule, the buzz of the city, the buzz of the demands, the buzz of the distractions, that often when you get a little quiet, that often in a period like that, God can speak to you in a way in a few short days that maybe it would have taken them about 6 months to speak to you, or maybe a change can happen in your life that would have taken a year. So we love kind of separating. We love getting away. We believe that Jesus models that for us in the Bible, that even he would get away and separate from time to time. We believe in that. We love that. And we're actually about to offer up some more opportunities for you to separate, get away this summer. For our students, for our kids, we have kids camp, we have student camp, we have Wild Week, and it's designed for radical, intense life change. And so we're convinced about this. We have limited availability, so if you plan on your kid going to any of these things, please sign them up immediately. Get them in on it. This summer will be amazing. And then something I shouldn't announce until next week. We had planned on announcing it next week, but I really want to tell you about it. Is that okay? Now, I don't know if I can do an announcement without a screen. We don't have a screen. So is it okay if I actually announce something? And you know what? It's not on the website. So you can't go to the website and look it up. Is it okay if I announce something even though it's not on the website? Okay, all right. So here it is. This summer, we are doing a thing called Summer Groups. And we want to extend this series and extend this life change. We're going to have classes for parents of teens. We're going to have classes for parents of children. And then we have other classes we will offer, some groups and study and life change and relationships to help you with your home. We're going to do that all summer long. Marriage, family, all of it. So look out for that when the screens come and the websites come. You'll want to sign up. You want to be a part of that. God will do a great thing. So summer's going to be amazing. It's right around the corner. Can you believe it? Seriously, we're just a few weeks away. It's coming. It's coming. So prepare yourself. It's going to be great. But right now, we're in a series called Family Style. We launched it on Easter, and God's doing a great thing in our homes. It's really a lot of fun as we learn God's design for the home. And we've been anchoring ourselves in Psalm chapter 128. So let's read it together, both of our campuses. You have it on the screen. If you have a Bible or tablet or iPhone, whatever, if you want to look it up, Psalm 128. This is a gem. This is a diamond in Scripture. Now, all of Scripture is a beautiful place, but there are those places in my life that I've stumbled upon that have just anchored in a little longer for me, and this is one of those places for me. In Psalm 128, as I look at my family, this has just served as a powerful picture, a potent picture for my life and my family. Psalm 128, starting in verse 1, it says, "How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways." And what we learned on Easter is that if you really want to have a happy home, if you want to have God's design for your home, you do it God's way. You do it God's way. And you walk into God's family as you try to lead your family. The first step is to be adopted by God yourself. That the greatest gift you can give your family is your faith. The greatest gift you can give your family is your faith. And so we talked about everything else that we will describe follows faith. So how do you begin that new walk with Jesus Christ? The Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And how do you express what God has done in your life privately? The first step is to go public with it. And that's why we do baptism all the time at Keystone Church. So, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. Now, right now, it is landscaping time. Are you with me? The landscaping is a bloom. The roses are blooming. The flowers are coming out. And we all know this because half of us in the room are on drugs right now. Raise your hand if you're on drugs right now. Now, I'm talking about allergies, okay? Half the hands just went down after I said, just for allergies. Welcome to Keystone Church. No, you have the nose spray, you know, you got the drugs, or some of y'all are into, you know, oils, you know, whatever it is. But however you medicate, the forest is abloom, is it not? And in our home, we're experiencing that. We're experiencing allergies, and we're experiencing the beauty of everything budding and coming alive. And in the middle of that, there may be a plant or two that had a rough winter. Have any of you been waiting on a plant to come around? Like you're waiting and you're looking at that tree and the tree's just DOA, dead on arrival, died in autumn, you know, just dead, gone. It's not happening. And you're waiting and you're waiting, but you're hoping because it's a beautiful tree or it's a beautiful plant, whatever. And you call the little green thumb and the green thumb expert, the plant whisperer, you know, comes to your house. And they begin to go up on this tree, whatever, and they scrape the bark, and they're looking at it. And this is a dead, gnarled, old, no-plant, no-life tree. And they're scraping on the bark, and they're digging in, and he scrapes on the bark, and he says, "Oh, no, 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 this isn't a dead tree. It has a vibrant core. To which you say, let me explain to you what I'm looking for in a tree, my man. You know, I want leaves. You know, it's not going to work when I have my friends over for the barbecue and they say, man, that tree's dead. No, no, no. It has a vibrant core. That's not going to work. You know, when it comes to our parenting, often, I totally ripped that off from Blue Collar Comedy Tour. But anyway, when it comes to parenting, often we feel like that, don't we? It doesn't feel like that our kids are in full bloom. You're just hoping for a vibrant core, you know? You're just hoping for a vibrant core. Now, God says in Psalm 128, may your children be like vigorous, young olive trees as they sit around your table. Now, lesson one for this whole series is this. This is huge for us. A Jesus-centered family style holds on to the ideal while working on the real deal. We uncovered this truth last week, and I want to hold that screen up. Because if you haven't locked in to this truth, this is a truth for your life. This is a truth for your life. This is even bigger than just parenting. Parenting is just an application for this point. As you read the Bible, this will help you read the Bible. Because have you ever felt like you read the Bible and you see all these great ideals, and then you look at your real deal and you see the distance? You see the distance between your real deal and the ideal, and it can be frustrating. It can be frustrating. You can be frustrated as you read places where it says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Yet your prosperity, your future, your hope has not landed yet. It could be about marriage, and it talks about how to invest in your wife and look at what it'll look like. But you look at your marriage, and your marriage is struggling. So here's a great truth for reading Scripture. Often, whenever we see the distance between the ideal and our real deal, we will be tempted to just cut loose the ideal. That's for somebody else. I'm giving up on that. I'm giving up on God's design for that, because that's not possible here. And then you're cut loose to live in your new normal. Your real deal becomes your new normal. You normalize your dysfunction. And God says you don't have to live like that. As a matter of fact, hold on to the ideal. Hold on to the ideal, even if it seems far away. Hold on to the ideal. And you say, but I've got some broken places. Hold on to the ideal. My kids are rebelling. Hold on to the ideal. So much drama. Hold on to the ideal. And here's what happens. As you evaluate and see the distance between your real deal and God's ideal, the tension, as you hold on to God's glorious standard for your life, that tension will pull you forward inch by inch, inch by inch, inch by inch. And as you hold on to God's design for your life, as you hold on to God's design for your attitudes, your emotions, your desires, as you hold on to God's design for your life, you'll be better tomorrow than you were today. And you'll be better 2 days from now than you were the day before. And 2 years from now, you'll look back and you'll say, man, I'm not there yet, but look how far I've come. In the tension of holding on to God's good design, therein lies your growth. Don't let go of the tension. Don't let go of the tension. So we're going to talk today about the tension of the ideal. What does it look like to raise up young, beautiful, flourishing olive trees? What does that look like? What is God even getting at when he says olive trees? See, in the Bible is more than a manual for life. It's not just, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's more than a manual for life. Throughout the Bible, God writes it in poetry. And this is one of those places where he says, with poetry, I will paint the pictures that hit. With poetry, I want to paint a picture that will hit to your heart. So as you hear him paint poetically, the readers of that day, when they heard your kids will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table, that would have hit in their day. Today, not so much. We don't really understand the meaning of a vigorous young olive tree in our day. So let me unpack it. A vigorous olive tree was a big deal in that day. An olive tree was huge, huge in that day. It represented a portion of their entire economy. An olive tree was a means for wealth. An olive tree was something that was producing and productive. An olive tree was something that brought a lot of wealth to that area of the region in that day. They would take the olive tree, make oil. They would make medicine. They would make food. It was all over the place. Olive trees were incredibly valuable. And if you had a vigorous young olive tree, that was the promise of future income. So if you want to, you know, bring it down to the Texas translation of the Bible, it'd be, how blessed are you who have vigorous young oil wells as they sit around your table, bursting, you know. I hit it rich. That's it. That's what they're saying to the people of that day. It represented economy. It represented life. It represented holistic. It represented healthy. It was everything. It was beautiful. So he's painting this big, beautiful picture of children. Understand this, that Jesus loves children. Wherever you go in the world, any culture, and you begin to look around where the church is advancing with grace and truth, when you see the church advancing, you see children being lifted. I'll just take a step further. You'll see children and women lifted. When you see the church advancing in hard cultures, you see women lifted. You see children, dignity. There's some hard places in the world. Jesus speaks into those hard places, and he says, when I advance, I love on kids. Check this out. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. One day, some of the parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, no. Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before they left. If you were here for Easter, one of the first songs we did, we had kids up here on stage dancing to that last song we just sang. Dancing. Now, what did that symbolize for us? That was touching to me because what we were saying was, this is our church. This isn't the kids' ministry of our church. No. We are the church. The young generation, everybody. We are the church. It's not the next generation. They are the now generation. We are the church. And we celebrate together. And we dance together. And we sing together. We live life together. We are the church. Elsewhere in the Bible, Psalm 127, the Bible says this, verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. Gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children are a gift from the Lord. Let's say it together. You ready? Ready? Let's do it together. Ready? Let's just all together, both campuses. Children are a gift from the Lord. Let's do that again. It's going to feel good in just a minute. You're going to remember. Children are a gift from the Lord. This is me directing traffic. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Children are a gift from the Lord in the middle of the night when they wet their bed. Children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord when you have to help them with that spelling test. Children are a gift from the Lord whenever they draw on the walls. Children are a gift from the Lord. You need to remind yourself of this. Quote the scripture. Children are a gift from the Lord. Whenever they say really family embarrassing things that are private to your friends. Oh yeah, mom always. What? No. Children are a gift from the Lord. You're a gift. You're a gift. Children are a gift from the Lord in the grocery store when they are freaking out. Come on now. Oh, not my child. Yeah, you too. It's happened to all of us. It's happened to all of us. I heard a story recently of a guy that was in the grocery store, and this man had his child, his son, and the child was young and in that little seat thing and flipping out. Ripping things off of the shelves, you know, just going nuts, wanting to climb out, you know. Woo! And the dude was remarkably composed. I mean, he was holding it together way better than I would have. He was holding it together. And he's walking. He's like, Jimmy, it's okay. Jimmy, it's okay. Jimmy, Jimmy, calm down. Jimmy, it's okay. Just this calm, soothing voice. You're like, whoa. Somebody was watching. They were like, what? Jimmy, you got it together. It's okay. You're going to be okay. We're going to be out of here soon. Jimmy, it's going to be all right. And this person was so impressed. They walked up and said, I want you to know, you're my new hero. Because little Jimmy here is flipping out, and you are holding it together. And the dude says, oh, no, 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 I'm Jimmy. I'm Jimmy. Serenity now. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. Just keep telling yourself that. Children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. Why didn't we use birth control? Children are a gift from the Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. Children are a gift from the Lord. An olive tree is a great symbol of value. Like little oil wells in your backyard, he might have said if he was talking to us today. Great value. Great value. So what does that mean? That means that it might be a really good prayer for us to pray on a daily basis. Remind yourself, God, help me cherish my child. God, help me cherish my child. You know, some of us prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed to have a baby. We prayed and prayed. You wrestled through infertility, you conceived. You wrestled through infertility, you adopted. You prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed to have a baby. You worked real hard on that adoption. You worked real hard. You worked, you worked, you worked, you worked. They finally come home. You prayed, you prayed. You went through 9 months of H-E double hockey sticks. And they came. And tears are flowing. And it's, you know, it's, oh, you're so happy. And then something strange happens. Life. And we begin, even those of us that really struggled to have children, right? We can normalize. And we begin to just get in our routine. And we can forget this prayer, God, help me cherish this gift. Help me cherish this child. Help me remember the gift. Help me see the gift. It's a statement of value. It's a prayer saying, God, would you help me value? I have a sick heart too. I have a selfish heart too. We all do. And the selfish heart wants to take you away from valuing that great gift from God. It's not just a great gift you've given each other. This is a gift from God deposited in your life. God, would you help me? That's a very honest prayer. Help me cherish this child. My natural instincts are I'm tired. Help me cherish this child. My natural instincts are I'm frustrated. Help me to cherish this child. And not because of what they're doing for me. Help me cherish them as a gift from you, no strings attached. Help me cherish them the way that you cherish me whenever I'm being bad. Help me cherish this child. It's a statement of value. One of the things you need to know about value is you what you value, you invest in. Are you investing? What you value, you invest in. Are you investing? If you value a car, I remember the first car I ever drove was the family Taurus. Late 80s. Family Taurus. Anybody know the Ford Taurus? Not the SHO, that was big bad. I'm talking the family Taurus. And I remember I was just so happy to have a car. I was so happy to drive anything that I remember just telling my mind as a 16-year-old kid or whatever, this is cool. This is cool. The family Taurus is cool. And I remember I didn't really own it until I waxed it. You fall in love with a car when you put your hands to it, you know? When you start working on it, when you start shining, all of a sudden, that Taurus looked like something awesome, shiny. Because I had put my hands on it, I had shined it up, and I was like, now, it's really cool. And when you love something, when you invest in something, when you spend money on something, it tends to get closer to your heart. What's the number one investment that most families make? Your home. The number one place you put most of your money is where? Your house. And it's no wonder many of us are on our knees trimming and picking weeds and doing all kinds of stuff to make a good investment in our home. Or we want to invest a little more, so we'll put an outdoor fire pit or fireplace somewhere. We want to make another investment, so we'll dream of the day where we could put a pool in the backyard. Why? You're making an investment in a place that you love. You're making an investment in your home. You're making an investment in your life. What you love, you will invest in. The thing about investment, the type of investment that requires healthy, beautiful, vigorous young olive trees, that's a personal investment. That's a hands-on investment. Do not outsource your investment. Don't let somebody else make that investment for you. Do not outsource your investment. Make it a personal investment. Now, we could be tempted to outsource, and we may not even know it. We can fall into the trap of outsourcing the investment. And it's easy to do in our culture because, you know, you even come by it honestly. You say, oh, I want him to play a little soccer. Cool. I want her to do a little gymnastics. I want them to get into some tutoring, or you begin to go to all these events. Now, at Keystone, we're not a church that preaches against youth sports. Okay, I was out there yesterday, lathered up. I was lathering up all my kids. They didn't want it, but I didn't care. I put the sunscreen on. We're going to be out there a couple of hours. Put the sunscreen on. And not only that, man, I've got one of those fold-out benches. I'm proud of my fold-out bench. And I'm the envy of all the parents with the fold-out bench. I just got to tell you. And maybe later I'll tell you where I got it, Academy. But anyway, got the fold-out bench. I've even got a little mat for the kids to sit on the ground. I've got all this stuff. I've got the cooler with the drinks. And all. So don't get me wrong, okay? This isn't a church where we're saying, if you love sports, you can't love God. No. But here it is. A common trap is, we'll get them into this sport, get them into that sport, two sports at a time, one over here, one over there, run. And then we awaken to the reality that maybe we've overcommitted. We awaken to the reality that we have no life. That you have become the cook and the chauffeur and some mixture in between. And you're not investing in their life. You're not parenting, you're driving. And we awaken to this reality. And sadly, one of the things that we've seen over the years is that the first thing that gets cut whenever you're busy is what? The house of God. The first thing that gets cut is the house of God. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had a portfolio and you looked at your accounts and you said, okay, well, this investment is Apple stock. It's going to bring incredible revenue into my home. This is a good investment. This is a good investment. That's a good investment. But this is the investment for a lifetime. This is the investment that's going to bring rewards for my children's children. This is the investment that's a wealthy investment. If you think, you know, my money's too spread out, is that the investment you cut? Is that the investment you defund? Is that the investment you cash out? No. You keep that sucker making some money. Choo-choo, get on that engine. Understand this, when it comes to the house of God, this is the greatest investment your family can have. And allow me to illustrate in a way I've done many times at Keystone, but I believe this with all my heart. Man, it's awesome. Man, teach your little boy to throw the perfect strike. Teach your little girl to do the perfect somersault. I mean, perfect straight legs, awesome. What? I don't know. Well, cartwheel. Yeah, cartwheel. See, I really know what I'm talking about here. Teach them to do the cartwheels. Teach them to throw the strike, right? But then there will come a day where you're a grandparent. Your kids are 39 years old, and they have kids of their own, and you're a grandparent. Now, just a little word. I want to give you a word of advice. Predetermine what your grandparent name will be right now. You do not wait on the kids to give you the grandparent name. You'll be Boompa and Chi-Chi and horrible names. If that's you, I hope you love me anyway. But the greatest grandparent name that I've ever heard is Duke. This dude said, I will be Duke. His name's Jim. But he's like, when I'm a grandparent, I want to be Duke. So he's Duke. That's like the most awesome thing ever, isn't it? Don't we all? Just, I mean, anyway, just a word. Okay, so when you're a grandparent and your kids are like 39 years old, and inevitably, maybe they have some struggles in their marriage. They come to a hard place. They hit a roadblock. They hit a wall. How do they cope? How do they respond? What do they do? When the hard times come, does your son go out into the yard and start throwing perfect strikes? Does your daughter go in the living room and do cartwheels? That would be weird. Both would be weird. No. But what have we invested in the most formative years of their life? We've taught them to throw great strikes, kick great goals, be aggressive on the field of play, throw a great spiral. We've taught them to do somersaults and cartwheels. We've taught them to do all this stuff, but we've taken them out of the house that will give them the tools to drop to their knees and pray over their marriage, that will give them the guidance and the foundation that will say, you know what, when the hard times come, I'm bringing my close Christian friends around me, and I'm going to let them pray for us. Hey, when the tough times come, there's some scripture that I've learned through the years, and I'm going to go grab those scriptures. When you lose your job, how do you respond? Go out and throw some strikes. So don't sabotage the thing that will actually be the greatest investment in their life. Keep them in the house of God. Make a good investment. Make a good investment in your kids. Invest in those kids. Another thing that we see is when you value these sweet, awesome children and you want them to flourish, if you value them, not only do you invest in them, but you protect them. Just a couple of words about protecting. Are you protecting your home? The things that we value, we protect. I value my home, so I have a security system, a really good one. And I pay every month for a great security system. Some of you have tried to value your stuff. You have means and ways to protect the things that you love. Are you protecting your home with the same intensity, your kids with the same intensity that you protect the valuables inside of your home? What does that look like? Just a couple of quick, clear suggestions, thoughts, things for you to pray over. Are you protecting your children with their friends? Choosing your kids' friends. Helping your kids choose their friends. Because we say this at Keystone through the years, show me your friends and I will point you to your future. Do you just go mindless and say, whoever they connect with, that's your best friend? Do you just allow culture to determine, or just preferences determine, who the clearest best friends will be for your kids? You got to game up. Put the filter on. Make it a prayerful thing. God, this person that my kid is getting to know and develop a relationship with, is this a person that will bring them life, or is this a person that will bring them death? Because if I want to protect my children, friendships are stop one. Now, that doesn't mean that your kids don't have difficult friendships. One of the things that we believe here at Keystone is that you should be friend with a ton of people. People that don't even share your values. That you can make an investment in someone who's even far from God. That we have a heart to love on people who are very different from us. We have a heart for your kids. Show them young how to love someone that's making even poor choices now. Show him how to love that person. But is that person in the deepest, most close circle of friendships for your child? No. And sometimes that may mean that you've just got to go bold. And you need to know the people that your kid is connecting with. Know their names. Know their social security numbers. Know their parents. Know who they are. Know what they're up to. Know what they're about. I'm just keeping it real. Today's day and age, we cannot go mindless. Ask God, God, would you give me a good filter for recognizing the relationships that my kids are making? And pray, God, for those closest friendships, the ones that really shape my kids' values, could those people be people that share the faith that we have? that share the value, that are moving in the same direction. Now, I'm not talking about perfect people. There are no perfect people. But people that are moving in the same vein, moving in the same momentum that you would want to move in. That is a huge truth for life. Be serious about that. Show me the friends. I'll show you the future. And they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. They're going to get really upset with you. I mean, they're going to be mad at you. They're going to be uncomfortable. They're going to flip the hair. They're going to storm off and do all that kind of stuff. You say, not my kid. You're just not there yet. They're going to be upset. But you know what? You either pay now, you pay later. You either do the work now or you do the work later. And here's the word for you. Later is longer. Later's longer. Tomorrow is longer than today. The parenting, you may do an impact parenting, hard, tough, guiding, shepherding parenting for a year. Game on for a year. Now, you're always on, but I mean game on. Hard times for a year. And it'll lead to a lifetime of rewards. Do the hard work now. Do the hard work now. Don't sabotage your parenting with the desire for immediate today friendship. Do the hard work now. Make the investment. Protect. Protect from friends. Can I also give another helpful suggestion for you to pray about? The sleepover. Pray about the sleepover. Now, I can only share with you what God has exposed me to. And in our line of work, with Susan in counseling, not in counseling, but leading counseling, she's a counselor. But you know what? We both know we're getting in counseling eventually. You know, it's going to come. We all have somebody on a speed dial. But as Susan is a licensed counselor and then just leading Keystone, and then for me, a couple of decades in ministry, one of the things that we've seen through the years, very, very clear, is the danger of just going filterless with the sleepover. Sleepovers are awesome, great, but put on a filter. Put on a prayer filter. God, is this a place I want my kids to go? Do you know who's in that house? Do you know who will be in that house while your kid's there? Some statistics tell us that 1 out of every 4 children will be molested. And often it's not from somebody hiding in a back street alley. It's something a little more subtle than that. Now, I'm not trying to provoke fear, but prayer. Put on the filter of prayer. God, is this a healthy environment? Just don't go mindless. And listen, here's the deal. If a parent has a problem with you doing that, you need to go boy band on that parent. Bye, bye, bye. Don't worry about them. You're not there to impress them. You're not there to be best friends with them. They can disagree with your parenting style. But your job, 15 years from now, you won't even remember their name. But you'll be dealing with the repercussions of the choices that we make right now with these little children. Understand, please, the sleepover. Just, I'm not going to go into details, but please, please, I pray. Now, Saturday night, after I preached this point, I had like 3 officers come up and give me big bear hugs and just high-five me, and they just wanted to share, thank you, thank you, thank you. Got to keep that filter on. I'm not saying no. I'm not telling you that. You've got to pray through that, but please put the filter on. At least pray about it. Pray about the older brothers that are in the house. Pray about that stuff. Pray about the attitude of sexuality in the home. Just pray about this stuff. Have your eyes open. What's going on here? Pray about that. We've seen a lot here at Keystone Church. All right. Protect, 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 protect through the sleepover. Protect with technology. Technology can awaken love before its time. Technology can expose them to things that God designed them to see when they're in their 20s in marriage. That you can stumble on things that you are not designed in your heart to see. And they're 10, they're 14, and they're seeing things they were not designed to see. So filter up. My kids can't stand the filters that I put on their phones. They're so mad at me about that, frustrated. And you know what? I'm like, you know, here's the thing. You just got to work with it. You just got to work with it. Now, you know, check the phones. Have a we check policy. You know, maybe you decide the phone doesn't go in that place of the house or whatever. Whatever. I can't tell you how to do it. You got to pray through it. But pray through technology. Put the filter on. put the filter on. Technology is something St. Paul would have never imagined to write about. But it's something we've got to deal with biblically. And biblically it is, put the filter on. Pray about it. God, how do I help protect this sweet child from seeing things and experiencing things online that would shock you and blow you away? All right. Sinful environment. God, help me protect my family from a sinful environment. Did you know that as the leader in your home, the husband, the wife, the family, as the leader in your home, that you are creating an environment? And there are small decisions that you make on a daily basis that enact an environment in your home. And that environment will be life-giving or it'll be life-taking. We buy the lie that says, especially men, we buy the lie that says, what I'm doing over here affects me. This is a victimless deal. Not true. When you give yourself full sway to a private sin, when you give yourself full sway to a private sin, you're opening the door of that particular sin into your home. If you give yourself full sway to gossip, do you not think you'll be training your daughter to gossip? If you give yourself full sway to rebellion, and over the dinner table, you just slice and dice the character of your boss in front of the children, do you not think you're teaching them to rebel against their teachers or their principal or their first boss? We've got to be very cognizant and aware of the sins we're giving ourselves full sway to. Lust, if you're opening the door of lust in your home, that is not a victimless crime. You're opening the door of an atmosphere of lust and temptation, and you will see the weeds of that sprout up in their sweet little hearts. Now, I'm going to get heavy on you. You ready for this? This is what Jesus said about that. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. That's Jesus going mafia, saying, you mess with the kids, sleeping with the fishes. Now, I don't know about you, but if it's the motive that, man, I want to create a great environment for my home, so now I'm opening the door, God, speak to me. If that's your motive for getting to the table, I'll take it. If that's your motive for finally kicking that lust addiction or that little recreational lust you think is no big deal, if that's the motive for dealing with that particular sin area of your life, I'll take it. Because I believe God will take it. I believe God will take you right there. Yeah, I want to be a better husband for my life. You know, and some of you are still doubting me. Oh, man, I just don't think that messes with the kids. Are you kidding me? You could take a walk across the living room, and you have no idea how little Jimmy, let's take him again, little Jimmy is walking just like you, trying, and you never saw him. Have you ever met someone's children or grandchildren, and you say, I cannot believe, they remind me so much of, why? They have built and picked up on almost imperceptible traits. Pick them up, almost indiscernibly, pick them up, absorb them. Do you not think that the corrosive sin nature that you're giving full sway to your home will corrode and collect inside of your home? Please, I'm not trying to judge you. Hear my heart. I'm preaching to me right now. As the man of my house, dear God, would you help me? Would you help me protect my children? Not only protection, but I believe when you look at these trees, God's talking about potential. God's talking about potential. God, would you help me cherish my children? But God, would you help me see their potential? God, would you help me see my child's potential? When it comes to potential, understand this. We are very limited in our ability to see our children's potential. You got to start there. You will not naturally come to that truth. You will not naturally embrace, I'm limited in my ability to see my kids' potential, because we all believe we're unlimited in our ability to see our kids' potential. But how many times do we need to see ourselves or those that we care about or even friends try to force our kids into a mold that they weren't created for to realize that our ability to see their potential is limited? It's limited to our own education, Our vision is limited to our own past experiences and exposure in life. And our vision is limited to our instincts. This is a huge principle for life where you say to yourself, God, would you help me see what in my natural abilities I will not be able to see? I've got some blind spots. Let's just say when you were growing up in school, you were just a natural self-starter. Mom and dad didn't have to get on your back. You were just a natural self-starter. Or you know what? Maybe they didn't get on your back. And for you to survive, you had to be a self-starter. But then you've got a kid over here, and it's like, not like spanking or whipping. I'm like cracking the whip. That was a little uncomfortable, wasn't it? Well, I got tense in here for a second there. Whoa. I'm talking about, you're like, come on, study. Have you studied? And you're on them, man. And you're so frustrated because you, the self-starter, them, maybe they're into art. Drama. Lots of drama. I don't know. You fill in the blank. But when they're not like you, it can be frustrating. Can't it? When they're not like you. If you're A plus B equals C, linear, and they're not linear, it can be frustrating. We're limited in our ability. And often what we'll try to do is make our kids a better version of ourselves. We'll say, okay, here's where I failed. And you come by it honestly. You believe this is the right way to do it. Here's where I failed. So I'm going to take you on my path, and where I failed, I'll help you. I'll help you not make... Now, don't get me wrong. Help them with the areas where you messed up, all that, but don't limit them to your path. God has a potential for their life. God has a potential for your life. God sees who you could be. God sees who you could be if you had never sinned ever. God sees who you could be if you have perfect communication skills. God sees who you could be if you are perfect interrelational skills. God sees who you could be, and he sees who your kid could be. The greatest gift, honestly, is to say, God, could you help me see what I cannot see? God, could you help me see things in them that maybe I cannot see? Again, the church is so powerful here at this point because you collect yourself around a community of people where you begin to see in the lives of others different parenting styles, different gifts, and you begin to broaden your view. But then you still need God to broaden past even your broad view. I've traveled the world. Not enough. God, help me see what otherwise I cannot see. Help me to invest in their potential. Sometimes their potential will just pop up and you'll be shocked. I ran across, we've got something hanging in our mirror from my boy Beck. I think I've got it here. Do we have a picture of the? Yeah, there it is. This is what he said one night a couple of years ago. He said, Susan was laying down and praying with him, and then he just had this moment of like Zen-like transcendence. And he said, Mommy, sometimes people need you. Sometimes you have things to do. Choose the people instead of the things to do. And we're like, I see his potential. He's going to write books. I mean, this dude is amazing. And then he hacks my phone, and he does stuff like this. You know, you just don't know, guys. You just don't. How do you put those two together? Sometimes. Now, which one do you think was Daddy? I think. We need help. We need help. All of us need help. So how can you unlock their potential? Real quick. First of all, don't bail out every single time. Don't bail them out every single time. Rather, from time to time, let them fail it out. Sometimes we shouldn't bail them out. There are times where you need to let them fail it out. And if you're an educator, teacher, you're like high-fiving me in your heart right now. Every time your kid has a conflict, do you just run to the rescue? Or do we coach them through various conflicts? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time for you to engage and go, Mama. There's a time for Mama has walked in the house. There's a time for Daddy is here. Okay, there's a time to engage. And certainly we're saying be involved. Certainly be involved. But there are times when your kids are going through some things, and the greatest help you can give is not solve their problems, but help them solve their problems. Help them develop the character, because at this age, it's a very low-impact failure. And to teach them how to deal with difficult relationships and difficult authority figures and conflict and big tasks, don't just do it for them. Don't just bail them out every single time. Let them fail it out from time to time. And then the aftermath of that, some of the greatest growth they can experience is wrestling through that little failure. Now, here's the thing. You've got to pray through that to figure out when you engage and when you don't. But that is a matter of prayer. But don't just always run to the rescue. Also, unlock their potential through conversations. I'll never forget some of the words spoken over to me. Brandon, you're a champion. Brandon, you're a champion. Brandon, you're a champion. Now, sometimes when I heard those words, I was not privately being a champion. I was in high school doing this or that or the other, and I knew I had a little guilt for some of the choices I was making. And when I heard those words, it was very convicting. Now, they believed it with all their heart. You're a champion, man. You're a champion. You're a go-getter. You're amazing, man. You're a star. You're a champion. And I'm like, if you knew what I've been up to, you'd know I haven't been very championship-like. But here's the strange thing. Those words of belief over me almost pulled me to repentance. They pulled me to correction. I want to be a champion. What's keeping me from being that guy? What's keeping me from being the best person? And so the Holy Spirit inside of me used those words of encouragement to pull me closer to God. Never stop being positive over your children. Another good thing you can say, God has a plan for you. God has something for you. I know you're having hard friendships or you don't have any friends right now. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Speak words over them. Open the door to communication. Open the interstate for communication. And they may not want to talk today. But if you've set a sign that says open for business, when they want to talk, you want them to drive to your address. When it's time to talk, they want to know that you're open for business. They need to know you're open for business. So don't just take little one-word answers. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Don't do it. Do the hard work now. No, that's not an answer. Give me more. No, that's not an answer. Give me more. I want more. Don't roll your eyes. I want more. You know? Always press for more. Open the lines of communication. Unlock their potential by living in an understanding way. They'll go through conflict that you think is really trivial. And you'll want to minimize that conflict because it's not as big as your conflict. But to them, it is. To them, it's as big as them almost losing their job. To them, it's as big as losing someone that means a lot in their life. Just if you could just emotionally transfer and think, okay, to them right now, this is as big as this over here, my loss of the sales. Or to them, this conflict with a teacher is as big as me having a conflict with a boss. It stresses me out. And enter in and understand. Living an understanding way and then coach them through it. And the strange thing is, in parenting, sometimes giving them the advice is the very advice you should take yourself. Parenting helps you. Unlock their potential by keeping them in the house. I'm not going to stop preaching this point. Keep them in the house. Keep them in the house. Listen to the scripture. Malachi 4:6 says, His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. What is God saying here? He is saying it's in the house that healing occurs. It's in the house. Hey, what did you learn today? What's the one thing you learned in Camp Keystone? Hey, what's the one thing you did? Did you have fun? What did you learn? Did you have fun? What did you learn? Train them to be thoughtful. By you even asking that question, It's training them to even remember what they did learn, because we taught them something. Trust me, we taught them something. What did they learn? It's been really rewarding. The more you ask that question, the more they'll remember what they learned. Just one thing, just anything. Anything. And they'll jack the stories up. It's okay. You know, it's all right. Beck came home talking the other day about this dude who turned into a werewolf and went into the grass. And I'm like, yeah, it's there, kind of, you know, kind of. But anyway. But the Bible's kind of coming alive to our kids. Why? Because we're talking to them about it. It's in the house. It's in the house. It's in the house. They're preaching. So while we're in the house, what's the one thing I've said all day long? Pray about it. Pray about that sleepover. Pray about the friends. Pray about the technology. Pray about their potential. Pray for the right timing. Pray to live in an understanding way. Pray, 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 pray about it. Let's pray together. God, what a great day for us to do worthy, worthy work. Good work for these little treasures that we can sometimes forget, miss it. Some of us, we've made some mistakes in our parenting. We haven't shepherded. We've gone with the flow, and we've paid for it. I pray we would not let go of who you are and what you design because we're frustrated. You're the God that can make all things new. God, I pray for healing in this house. I pray for the person who's not even married yet, or maybe married, no kids. I pray that these words would burn in the heart of the person seeking who they would marry. That I'm looking for somebody who will parent like this with me one day. I'm looking for the character of the person that will keep the kids in the house. Or as a young couple, as we pray about having kids, I pray that we would get this foundation right day one. Some of us may have made some mistakes and the kids are gone, they're out of the house. As the grandkids come, I pray that I would parent them well. I pray that I grandparent them well. I pray that I'd be the voice of Christ in their life. And I pray this over this church, that we'd be countercultural in this way, following you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.